Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're welcome to today's Bible study class. So we started a teaching on the book of Mark, and I'm encouraging you not to miss a day. It is one chapter a day. And from now on, it's going to be Monday to Sunday. May God help us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So in the next 16 days thereabouts, we'll finish the book of Mark. We'll go to the book of Luke. At least that way you can also read your Bible every day. One chapter a day. God bless you as you join us in Jesus' name. And as we look into God's word today, may the Lord give us light and understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 3. We're going to start with the healing on the Sabbath. So what happened was, Jesus Christ entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely whether he would heal the man on Sabbath so that they might accuse him. This issue of Sabbath, I think I dealt with it in the last lesson. There is nothing wrong with healing someone on Sabbath. When God said you should not walk on Sabbath, he wasn't talking about not walking at all. Because if that is what God meant, then we all will be committing sin. Every single Jew, Pharisee, Sadducee, they will all be committing sin. Because as long as you wake up in the morning to sweep your house or wash the plate, you have walked. Or you do anything, even cooking is walking. So whatever they do on that day, they are definitely working. So what God was saying about not working on Sabbath is the fact that they should not work for the goal of making profit. Whatever you do because you want to make profit, you should not do it. Because then you've worked for 6 days. Relax on the seventh day and rest. Don't do anything in order to make profit. That was actually the law of the Sabbath. But these guys just were looking for one way or the other to accuse Jesus Christ. And then they were looking if Jesus was going to heal this man. But of course, Jesus Christ is a man full of compassion. He didn't heal that man because he just wanted to prove a point. He did it because of compassion. He was compassionate. And then at the end of the day, the Bible says he healed the man. And look at the reaction of the Pharisees. I mean, someone that has been sick for years, Jesus healed this man. What should be your reaction? The Bible says, then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how that they might destroy Jesus. That is terrible. How do you react when you see your brother or someone who is, you know, close to you? Even if the person is not close to you, you see the person gets his miracle. How do you react? What is your attitude towards that person? Imagine that someone was healed and the Pharisees were sad because of that, just because they feel they want to keep the law. The same law that they are not actually keeping. It's so sad. I mean, it's terrible. So they didn't bother about the fact that the man was healed. All they were concerned about is the fact that they wanted to bring Jesus down. And we see that Jesus was actually angry with them. You know, the Bible says in verse 5, Jesus Christ was trying to tell them. He said, is it lawful to on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? I'm saving a life here. Verse 5, and when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their heart. You know, these guys were so stubborn. You know how bad it is that you are being corrected and you still do not want to change. Jesus was trying to correct them here, but their hearts were so hard that they couldn't even, you know, change. They were not ready. They were not willing to have a change of heart, despite the fact that Jesus corrected them. And this is the attitude of some of us as believers. We are just like the Pharisees. We definitely know that what we have done is actually wrong. And someone comes to correct you, but your heart is so hardened that you're not even willing to change. So do you know the number of messages you listen to every day? Podcast, Bible study on Wednesdays in your church, Tuesdays, Digging Deep, Faith Clinic, Sunday teachings, you know, the same message. Repent, repent, change from that thing. You already know that what you're doing is wrong. Don't harden your heart like the Pharisees. Jesus Christ was trying to correct them here. There is nothing wrong with healing someone to save someone's life on Sabbath. But they were not willing to change. The Bible says they were so hardened, so much that Jesus was grieved and was angry, you know, about the hardness of their heart. So the lesson, number one lesson, we've learned one lesson. The second lesson I want us to learn is the fact that you should not harden your heart to the word of God. Whatever the word of God comes to you, accept it. Pray for a receptive and a responsive heart. And I pray that the Lord will honor your prayers in Jesus' name. Well, don't forget the first lesson is that you should be compassionate. It is compassion first before the law. You know, some people believe that you know, because you're going to church, you're on a Sunday morning, someone is in your house, your neighbor gets, you know, fell down and then broke his leg, they need a doctor, emergency situation. But because you are the one that would lead the opening prayer in church, you leave that person and then you're going to church because you said the Bible says that we should not forsake the gathering of the brethren. That is absolute nonsense, because the idea is compassion first, love first. The Bible says love is the ultimate. So try to help that person first before you go and observe one law, the law. You know, that's the first lesson. And the second lesson is don't harden your heart. The next lesson I want us to learn from Mark chapter 3 is in verse 11 and 12. The Bible says that the unclean spirit, they were actually calling Jesus the Son of God, but Jesus sternly warned them that they should not make him known. I found out through the Bible that every time the demonic, you know, the demons or this, you know, every time demons try to, you know, appreciate Jesus, try to commend Jesus, Jesus Christ would always stop them every single time. And it's so strange that Jesus wasn't even looking for the commendation of men or the commendation of demons. We're so directly opposite with believers that we are always looking forward to someone praising us. We are looking forward to someone saying that you're a good person, you're doing well. Don't look for the commendation of anybody. The best commendation you should be looking forward to is God's commendation. And Jesus already got that in Mark chapter 1. The Bible says the heaven opened and God said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." God had already said that. And demons are also saying the same thing here. You are the son of God. And God, Jesus Christ, immediately sternly warned them that they should never say that again. And Jesus Christ did the same thing in Mark chapter 2. If you remember the last time we had a class, you know. So don't look for the commendation of any man. The biggest and the best commendation you should be looking forward to is the commendation of Jesus, of God himself. Hallelujah. And then the next thing we see, that Jesus appointed the 12 apostles and he gave them three assignments. I want us to listen to verse 14. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him. That is the first assignment of every believer. If God is calling you into the ministry, and it might not necessarily be ministry, as long as you are a child of God, you already have a ministry in which is the fact that the Bible says, go into the world, preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The assignment that God has given to us as believers first is to be with him. Did you see that? He said that they might be with him. Then he might send them out to preach and then to give them the power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. But the first thing, the first assignment of every believer is to be with Jesus. So before you start doing all of those things, before you start doing activities, before you start preaching, stay with Jesus. Do you know, I tell people that even before you preach to any single soul, you need to come and sit at the feet of Jesus first. Learn at his feet before you even go out to preach to any man. So before doing anything, before doing ministry, before Moses did ministry, he spent 40 days and 40 nights praying, fasting. The same thing with Elijah. This guy stayed with God. The same thing with Jesus Christ. He was with God for 40 days, praying and fasting, trusting God for just 3.5 years ministry. Now you want to do ministry for 50 years. You're not praying, you're not fasting, you're not doing anything. You just want to go out there and preach. You know, the people you want to preach to, you need to pray ahead and trust that the Lord God Almighty will prepare their heart for God's word. So the first assignment of every believer is to first of all stay with Jesus. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Another lesson in verse 16, the Bible says Simon, to whom Jesus gave the name Peter. So his name was Simon, but Jesus gave him another name, the name Peter. And we all need another name. It is who God calls you that you are. Your name, people might be calling you different names. They might be calling you a failure in class. But what is God calling you? It is what God calls you that matters most. And how do you want to know what God has said concerning you? Stay with the word of God. No matter what any man is calling you, no matter the names they have called you, go back to the word of God. What is God saying about me? So the name of Simon is actually Simon, but Jesus looked at him and said, your name is not Simon, your name is going to be Peter. Simon means unstable, someone that is unstable, someone that is shaky. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are not a shaky person, your name will be the rock. A rock is something strong that is unshakable. And that is how Jesus sees Peter. You know, the way Gideon sees himself, he sees himself as a small boy that will not be able to do anything. But when God was about to call the name of Gideon, he called him a mighty man of valor. Someone that has never fought a single battle once. But that is who God sees Gideon to be. So it is not about what your daddy sees you to be, what your mommy sees you to be, what your friends, what your colleagues, what your neighbors. It is not about what they see you to be. It is about what God sees about you. And how do you see it? Go into God's word and see what God is saying concerning your life. The next lesson is blasphemy. We talked about blasphemy when we're looking at the book of Matthew. Blasphemy is you obviously seeing that this is the working of the Holy Spirit, and you attribute that working of the Holy Spirit to be the working of demons. Be careful. Be careful never to attribute a working of the Holy Ghost as a working of the demons. And I pray that the Lord is an unpardonable sin to do that. And I pray that the Lord will help us never to come to that point in Jesus' name. Finally, my best part of today's teaching, Mark chapter 3, verse 31 to 35. So the family of Jesus came and told him, tell Jesus to come outside because it was so crowded, they couldn't even reach Jesus. Tell Jesus to come out to us. You know what Jesus told them? He said, no, these are not my brothers and my sisters. My brothers and my sisters are those who do the will of my Father. They are my brothers and my sisters. And I like to tell people that, now, you're not going to like what I'm going to say, but it is actually the truth that the Christian family, the family of God, is stronger than every blood relationship. This is what I mean. If you're born again and you're listening to me, I am your brother. You see, that relationship that we have together is stronger than the relationship which you have with your siblings. And that is the truth. Jesus is the firstborn of the begotten. I mean, Jesus is God's child, and he's the firstborn. And as long as we all are children of God, we are brothers and sisters to Jesus, and we are also brothers and sisters to ourselves. So mind the way you relate with your brother in church. Mind the way you relate with fellow believers, because they are indeed your brothers and sisters. And I like to tell that to most of the people around me, that don't forget that I am your brother. Before you start looking at me as your, you know, as just a mere believer, I am not just a mere believer to you. I am your brother. That brother beside you that is a Christian, a believer, is your brother. That person beside you that is a believer is your sister. And you need to accept everyone as such. I pray the Lord will give us that grace, that strength in Jesus' name. So the next time you fight someone in the household of faith, remember that you are fighting your brother and you are fighting your sister. May God help us never to come to that point in Jesus' name. I want to believe you've learned one or two things today. Thank you for joining today's class. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now.